Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a very special episode of Rethink Podcast. Yeah. Why is this significant?
It's the season finale. Season two. Yeah.
And season finales are always like the cliffhangers.
They're true. Yeah. Which hopefully that's what this is.
Yeah. So you've been binge watching anything fun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So Money Heist. We were just talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that it was like number one series in the world or something like that. So it's a Spanish show that they dubbed.
Game of Thrones is over.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. Exactly. So we started watching season one, finished season one, but then Game of Thrones last season came out. So we're like, oh, we'll leave it, and then left it for forever, whatever. So it's a Spanish show dubbed over in English about a group of people that rob or try to rob the Spanish mint. It's great.
In Spain or Mexico?
In Spain.
So yeah. It's Spanish.
It's Spanish. Okay. Yeah. So there's like multiple different types of like European people on the team. Oh my gosh. So it's like
French.
No French. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good show. Yeah.
Go ahead and write me a letter because I'm going on a break.
You're going on a break. You're good.
I'm not
going
to respond till August.
It's so good. So I usually watch shows and I'm like, oh, this is predictable. Here's where they're going with it. I can't figure it out. It's cheesy at the front end because you're like, okay, it's just a weird, like, it's weird watching mouths move. And then it's like they say something in English that it's like they're still talking, but the English sentence is done. You get over that quick.
You're like hitting your TV.
Yeah, like, I'm like, what's wrong? Yeah, what's wrong with it? You get over that quick.
Okay.
I can't figure it out. We're in season two right now.
There's four seasons and they still haven't managed to rip off the mint.
They're in season two. They're still in the mint.
That's a bad plan.
Yeah. Well, they're only 80 hours into the heist at that point.
Oh, it's like in real time.
It's in real, yeah.
Okay. Oh, this could take years.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, it's, I have a feeling that they have to be out of the mint by end of season two. But then it's like, where do they go? I don't know. I can't figure it out. Absolutely.
They're just warming up.
Okay,
time out.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I have a reason I'm asking this, okay?
Yeah.
So, your shirt, it's very bright.
Very bright.
Very bright. What is it?
Well, so, as of last night at the BET Hip Hop Awards, Chris Brown won Best Male Artist for R&B and Performer of the Year. So Chris Brown, for all the like bad things that have happened, okay?
Even though
he's an incredible performer. His concerts are just, they're absurd how great they are. Mm-hmm. So this is from his last concert that I went to before all this coronavirus stuff hit.
All right.
So this is just a tour shirt.
So I have a question because something cool happened this weekend, right?
Yeah.
So how would you describe, like, what's the Cole Willard look? What's the look?
That's a tough thing to justify. I mean,
because to nail down?
Yeah, it's tough to nail down. I pretty much wear Old Navy shorts every day, usually a graphic tee and a flat bill hat. It would be my generic look.
Sometimes forward, sometimes backwards.
Yeah, if it's a snapback, it's probably backwards depending on how it looks when it's forward. There's a lot that goes into it. Uh-huh. But I don't.
It's a science.
It's a science to it. I don't pick my shirts though, so I don't like look through and go, oh, this will match. I grab whatever's on top of my shorts and then whatever the first shirt is on the hook.
And then they have nothing to do with each other?
Yep, and they'll rotate through.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So the other day I was having a conversation with Bruner.
Yeah.
And we were talking about your look.
Yeah, my look.
No, my look.
Yeah.
And I said, like, what's my look? And he goes, redneck.
That's rude.
Well, I thought, I get okay, it, all right. I wasn't a redneck until I moved to Colorado. I lived in Kentucky for 22 years.
Yeah.
I didn't own a truck, listen to country music, drink bourbon, have camo.
Yeah.
Nothing
what
like
was
that.
The catalyst for it? Like, that's a lot of change in
guns.
Yeah.
I started shooting.
Yeah. And it changes everything.
It did.
Yeah.
I started hanging out with cops and hunters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just fun. But anyway, so I'm sitting in rehearsal the other day.
Yeah.
And I got my friend Adam Stevenson, who's just the bongo player.
Yeah.
Right. And John Monroe. No, John, the drummer.
Romero.
John Monroe. Oh, no. John Monroe is another friend.
Yeah.
I just did his wedding. Anyway. Yeah. Ding. Sorry. Sorry. My wife. No, it's my friend. Never mind. It just got awkward.
Yeah, that was weird.
So we're sitting there and I go, hey, so my Paul's call me redneck. And John Romero goes, no, you're not a redneck. My uncle's a redneck. And he pulls up a picture of his uncle drinking beer underneath the truck.
Yeah, you don't drink Bush Light. You don't do all that.
Yeah. So I said, so what's my look, Adam? And he went, And then he nailed it. Country tactical.
I was going to say country chic.
Come on.
Country tactical.
Country tactical.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Right.
Yeah.
Like most of the time, I'm country.
You got boots
and I'm
on.
Packing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're doing great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Good country job. Tactical.
That's a new genre for me.
It's a subgenre of redneck.
When I go to country concerts, I don't fit in at all based off how I dress. So when we go to a concert series.
We went to Zac Brown together.
That's true. Zac Brown's like country. He's like he's a bunch of stuff.
They cover the Beastie Boys.
Yeah. He's Zac Brown live is dope.
Yeah.
But when we go to North Platte, that's where Taylor's from. There's a country concert series every year that we go to out there. I don't fit in.
Yeah.
It's an interesting group.
In Nebraska?
Yeah. It's
you don't fit in Nebraska.
No. I went to school out there for 4 years. Still don't fit in though.
You went to you didn't go to class.
No, I went to a school. Yeah, yeah.
You enrolled.
Yeah, yeah. I was there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm going to miss this.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
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 So, interesting conversation.
Yeah.
I've already had today.
Yeah.
Right? One is I had a really interesting conversation over the weekend with the wife of a guy in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And then you and I just had an interesting conversation about this week's talk about mm-hmm. Joseph.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And interestingly enough, there seemed to be some
similarities,
right?
Yep.
And here's what I'm going to. So she raised her hand and said, hey, you know, on your podcast, you've had several people of color come on. You had great conversations, yep. right? How come you haven't had anybody from the law enforcement community come in?
Yep.
I thought that's valid.
Sure.
So when we come back, you know, I think that.
Something we could do.
Yeah, we could do because the whole thing about, not the whole thing.
Yep.
Part of the thing.
Yeah.
Trying to keep staying in my lane, right? Yep. Is with all the tensions going around the last 6 weeks of racial tensions, or it's years of it, but it's kind of right, is we're trying to take a look at what we have intentionally or unintentionally communicated to some other people who are different than us that maybe is like, I never thought about that,
mm-hmm.
right? And like when we had Flammy and
Glenn
yeah. I'm sorry, Glenn, I'm just blanking. And he talked about going in the grocery store and the manager walks by him four times when he's buying deodorant. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen to me. I'm like, ah, I bet that stings. Never thought about it, right? Yep. But the same thing is like, I'm talking to a law enforcement wife who every day when her husband walks out the door, this may be it. He puts on the vest, he puts on the you know all the body armor and stuff like that, and it might be the day, you know? So then the perception, the optics of people I trust seems like they took the other side against what felt like him.
Yep.
And she knows that's not their heart, but it's like we have to actually stop and go, whoa, 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 whoa. Even a proactive, hey, I know what this might appear, what I'm about to go do. I want you to know, mm-hmm. just a preemptive conversation as opposed to a apologetic one on the back end.
Sure.
You know, I just think that's valid,
yeah.
you know, but none of us are listening to each other.
No.
Some of us don't even listen to all of a sermon.
Some of us don't. I listen to the whole thing. I just missed certain sentences here and there.
So you listened to my sermon twice this week, all right?
Yep.
So I taught through Joseph this past week.
Yep.
And the whole thing was there comes a time when you're going to be face-to-face and you have a choice. Am I going to do what God wants me to do or am I going to pay back some people that hurt me? Mm-hmm. And I'm just talking about sitting in on the receiving end of a chair going, this is what it felt like, mm-hmm. right? And now Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery and he'd lost 22 years of his life. Mm-hmm. And now he had a chance to either do what God told him to do or pay back.
Yep.
Right? And we all have to make the decision. God's not going to make it for us. Right? Mm-hmm. And so then I compared that with when I went on sabbatical. It felt very, very, very traumatic. And it felt inflicted upon me by the people that I should have loved and trusted the most. Mm-hmm. Right? By the way, when I walked off the stage from that sermon, I looked at some of my staff and went, we're not going to mention sabbatical for 6 months. I'm just done. All right?
That's so a good idea.
It is a good yeah. idea, right? But it was a great parallel because during my sabbatical, the story of Joseph, right? So I compared that specifically to sitting in this room, at that end of the table, when all my elders, my lead team walked in and basically said I was going on sabbatical. And what I heard was my biggest fears. Mm-hmm. You don't want me anymore. You don't this, you don't that. And I even offered to just disappear and go away, right? So it was the trauma of those events, especially by my executive pastor, Paul Bruner,
yep.
right? And a day came when if Paul and I couldn't heal up our relationship, our staff wasn't going to heal and our church wasn't going to heal. Yeah. And it would just either be just traumatize everyone or I hope you never do what most churches do, is just sweep it under the rug and go, it's fine.
Yep.
Right? So that was the parallel I made in that. But your first pass at it.
Oh, I've made like a pact for myself. I think it's really easy to kiss your butt. People come in and do that all the time.
Mine?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I've made a pact with myself of like, I'm never going to do that.
I just got to process it.
Yeah. I'm never going to do that. I'm just going to tell you the truth all the time. Like if you ask me for my opinion, I'm going to like without good or bad. I'm not going to pull punches and you asked for it, right?
Right.
So I watched yesterday morning at the 9 and as I'm watching, I just got angrier and angrier.
Because of you felt like I was violating God's First Amendment rights?
That as well. Oh my gosh. I was
that right comment there. On there is like...
I was ready to go to war. Anyway, so I got done with your talk and I sat there for a second and I was like, what was that? I looked over at Taylor and said that. And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, that why am I angry right now? Like, after thinking through it, it's like I listened to it and I heard like, hey, the staff did this with surveys, and I was like, okay, but that was like the way that I heard all of it was like, not only do I feel like you weren't owning anything, you were just like sweeping stuff under the rug, and then it was like, here's all your anger boiling out over the past year and 6 months. And I was like, I've seen him own stuff. This doesn't line up with what I've seen behind closed doors. Like, there was a lot that didn't line up. So then I start getting text messages. I've never gotten the response that I got to one of your talks in such a positive way as I got this weekend.
So the odd man out was you.
So I got 23 different people had texted me that said, serious? Like, yeah, that said like, and people that have either like been frustrated with Flatirons or frustrated with people outside of it or whatever. They're like, hey, that talk made me take steps towards either forgiveness at Flatirons, forgiveness with other people, forgiveness with people that I haven't forgiven in 20 some years. I've gotten a wide like juncture of people that have 23 people. And I sat there going, I missed something. Either I'm just a huge jerk and I missed and like just went straight to anger, or I like genuinely missed something. So this morning I went and worked out, and then I, on the drive here, listened to your talk again.
Is that why you kind of ignored me at the gym? You're like, hey, you're
no,
mad at
I
me?
Wasn't awake yet. Yeah. Okay. Once my brain blitz kicked in, I was ready.
Yeah.
But re-listening to it, I missed certain sentences.
Kind of important ones.
So I missed the first most important one, which is where the rest of the talk then fell apart for me. Because I even looked at it, I was like, when he talked about Joseph, what you do best is taking the Bible and showing me how my life like corresponds with that. Not like how my life is and then the Bible corresponds with it. It's like, no. Here's what's true and how does my life correspond with it.
Got it.
For your entire breakdown of Joseph, it was like, that was gold. And then you got to the story about...
Especially skipping over that one chapter?
Yeah, that was wise.
There's some gross stuff in there, man.
We could do a series on that chapter,
no,
though.
No, we couldn't.
Yeah, that's season 3 of the podcast.
Okay. Clean up on aisle 4.
Yeah. But then you got to the Paul stuff and you made a comment about, here's what they said, and then you go, but actually, no. Here's what I heard. I missed that. I heard you say, here's what they said, and then dive into everything that had gone on. And so as I watched that unfold, my initial thought was, you're not owning anything in this, even though I've sat across from you in here. I've watched you do it from stage. I've watched you doing a bunch of other spots where you have owned
4 weekends and 20 staff meetings.
Yeah.
And I got butt naked and fell on my sword.
Yeah. Yeah. But I
figuratively.
Yeah. That could be season 4 of the podcast. Yeah.
We've never had a podcast that had a nudity warning.
No, we'll talk about it.
All right.
And so I came in here as of yesterday. Like, if he asked me how the weekend goes, I'm going to be brutally honest. Like, here's what I thought. On my drive in, that mindset changed. There's still things that I look at of like, oh, I have questions about this or whatever. But there's also a completely different mind shift when I took a second time, not to pat myself on the back, because I should have listened better the first time. But there was a different mindset after taking the second to go, okay, maybe I'm wrong here.
Yeah. And I think that all these hard conversations is like when I was talking to the cop's wife,
yeah,
it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
All right. Don't throw away 10 years, 15 years of history here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you said that the way I might have heard it.
Right.
All right. And I was really clear because when Paul and I wrote that part,
yeah,
it was really, really broad. And then because people, they haven't had the thousands of hours that Paul and I and some of the staff have had together just to mend and have those conversations. So usually the tendency is a lot of times is that you fill in the blank with story and it's never a positive story.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, I've listened to podcasts about me.
Yeah.
All right.
There's a couple of them out there.
It's just fascinating, right? It's like, well, I don't know what's true, but
here's my opinion.
Right. Here's what I think is true. Right.
Nobody has a podcast about me. We should have one about my fashion sense.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You gotta come find a name for it though. I'm Country Tactical.
Let me think on it. We can have
tacky.
We can have the tacky.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
I love your style.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
So, seriously, it's like I ran into Paul and it was really, really broad. He goes, hey, people aren't going to understand everything. And we made a decision. Let's make this more narrow about the two of us because it was the most important thing that needed to happen. Yeah. Right. And that's what the stakes were so high. And the other part of it was so I'm always thinking about somebody, right? So I got my sabbatical story and Joseph has his 13 chapters of the Bible story, all that kind of stuff, right? So I'm trying to think about somebody sitting on the other side of that camera, on the other side of the TV, right? And I'm trying to go like, okay. And I'll come to one of the things that you said earlier. It's like, I want to acknowledge, like when we talked about hard heart last time, right? you had to put armor on your heart, you'd be dead.
Yep.
Okay. It's just a sucky way to live forever, right? So there's a lot of people out there who have been Christianized or whatever that is that says you should pray your prayer and move on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to raise my hand and say, hey, you got thrown in a well and it shouldn't have happened. Or it shouldn't have happened like that.
Yep. Which I missed that back part.
Right.
I heard you go, it shouldn't happen. And I go, well, we've talked about all of that, you know.
I absolutely should have been put on sabbatical.
Yeah.
But I had elders. We had like an elder dinner last night.
Yep.
So good. And so I said, hey, here's a couple learnings for me. All right. And one of them was, if I could go back and push rewind, and we all are hands in the middle in this, we would have done it differently.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't. But we're learning from it. Okay, I'm going to keep this really, really vague. All right, we terminate people on staff here differently than we did a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's never going to be happy. It's never going to be easy. But it's not. We're not going to throw people away. All right, that was a learning. All right, from that. And so, the person on the other side of that was listening yesterday, and I don't know how the 23 people that reached out to you, what they're dealing with. He's like, hey, I want to talk to the person who absolutely got trashed by her ex. I want to talk to the 50-year-old man who still remembers getting held down as an 8-year-old, mm-hmm. right? Hey, that shouldn't have happened, right?
Yep.
You got thrown in a well, right? And then, you know, I still get choked up about it because I remember studying for this, and thinking, God wasn't with me.
Mm-hmm.
God absolutely left the building.
Yeah.
And then the idea that he's right up against me,
holding
me together, and then acknowledging at the very end, if you're not there today, it's okay. Because he is with you, you just can't hear him right now. And that's just reality, you know? So I think, you know, if we could call it rethink listening, is like, okay, Cole just said these words, but did he hear? Like you were talking about, you're reading a Malcolm Gladwell book, all right, about it opens up with a person gets shot, and it's all on video, but that's not all of
the backstory.
That's just the event.
Yep.
There's a whole backstory that led up to that. And I'm going to leave it really vague because I don't want to sidetrack it, you know, but it's like, okay, everybody has a story. I think it was at Starbucks the other day. No, somebody actually quoted, gave props to Craig Rochelle, a pastor in Oklahoma. And I went, I read it at Starbucks. But it was like every person that you encounter is fighting a war that you know nothing about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, so that's why Cole came in here and said that pretty rough. It's probably not about me. It might be, but we need to listen better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's spot on. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good learning experience for me of like, because even then it's like, even when we don't listen well and then we go back and re-listen or we go back and give it another shot, there's still stuff that people are going to have qualms about across the board. I mean, you brought up the Black Lives Matter stuff mixed with her husband being a cop. And it's like, I heard these two different things, or I heard this one thing and I clung to it and then realized, oh, actually, like if I take a step back, there's this and this. I still have a problem with that.
Yeah. On both sides, you're going, this is what would be the response. Well, that's not what I meant.
Yep.
Well, okay.
I heard.
I didn't know that. That's what it looked like. Yeah. That's how it hurt. And that's how it felt.
Yep.
Right. And the worst advice you can ever give anybody is, well, you shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah. It's terrible. Dan Foote, when he was my boss, one of the things he said,
the worst at that.
Oh my gosh. He always said, it's not what you communicate. It's what they hear. And it's like, and again, it's not how you communicate, because there's a lot of things that's like how I communicated that said this, and this without ever do. That's part of the Malcolm Gladwell thing, is like your body posture, the way you communicate, the way all that type of stuff plays into how you talk with strangers. And it's like there's a lot of it that it's like nobody's ever going to be fully all right with it. But it is your response afterwards of like, okay, that's what you heard. Here's what I need to own. Here's how I move through that. And here's how I do it better the next time, which is all we can ask for.
So you said you made a pact with yourself is that you'd always be honest with me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would say this. Anything we need to talk about that's tough, don't text me.
Yeah.
Right? We cannot have a conversation. No. And so I know that people, so I have a platform. I've got cameras and lights and a whole department that pumps out, you know, my views or my teaching or something like that. The person on the street didn't have that.
Yep.
What they do have is Instagram or Facebook or, you know, whatever that is. Okay. It's like, so that's your platform. And to say don't comment or that's ridiculous.
Yep.
That's your platform, okay? Be very, very careful.
Yeah.
right? Like, the comments that even come in during my sermon, it's like, I can't
engage with it.
Yeah. I can't read them. I turn them off because it's like, and I think that even on one of the comments, you told me this, is that you said, hey, email me and I'll get back with you.
Yeah.
Because this is not
the
platform to do it on. And so,
if I would have texted you yesterday and be like, yo, what the hell? Why'd you give this talk? That wouldn't have gone over well, as opposed to us sitting across from each other going like, here's what I didn't like. Here's what I actually heard. Here's what I still have. Like, that's way more helpful than why'd you do blank. There's a guy that goes to Aurora. He's a great man. He's on our load and load out team. He's a great guy. And he was actually listening to the podcast, and me and him, for the most part, think very similarly. We got time. Yeah. Think very similarly. I shared a post this weekend on Instagram that probably goes against everything that he stands for. It was a joke. And like, for me reading it and the other people that responded, it was obviously a joke. For him, it was like, hey, why'd you say this? He didn't come at me when he asked me about it. He was like, hey,
this is about, 'cause it's not on your feed.
What?
About, didn't you make some reference to what's going on? Hey, it still matters even though it's not on your feed.
I don't remember. Yeah, no, this like, was, there's a great post about Outkast. I'll show it to you later. It's awesome. But he texted me and goes, hey, help, like, explain to me why you posted this and what your goal was with it. And it was like, that's a lot better than like, why the hell did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it was like, we got to have a great conversation. And he made a comment afterwards. He's like, hey, I love that after having this conversation, we both get to walk away smiling.
Yeah.
And it's like, there was never any doubt of like me judging his character or him necessarily judging mine. That was through text, so I can't read that. Yeah. But it was like, he actually wanted to know the heart of it because he knows my heart.
Yeah.
And if we can figure that out, if we can figure out how to have those conversations where it's like, there's going to be the people that are super loud on social media.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't, if you aren't close with them, engaging with them is just because you want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
There's people, I mean, you've taught this for years. It's like, you're entrusted with a portion of the kingdom. How you communicate with that portion affects the next portion and the next portion and the next portion.
Yeah.
It's a ripple effect of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Paul, part of our healing process is that we're going to stay honest with each other.
Yep.
And so last week I talked to somebody that he had a conversation with, uh-huh. and it brought some energy to me. So I said, hey, can I talk to you? And he said, yeah. So I walk in and go, okay, I'm carrying energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started talking about the conversation, and it was really, really important to find the right words, right? And so the conversation started with this. So I know that you had this conversation. Here's what he heard.
Yep.
Right? As opposed to, this is what you said. Yep. Why'd you say this?
Yeah, change it.
Because if you said, right? And so I think that if it was help me understand is one of the best ways, like, steps into a conversation. Probably the second step is, so here's what I heard. Yep. Whether you said that or not, here's what I heard. Yeah. And the other thing is, if it's really traumatic, I probably heard it through this filter that, because I'm sitting at that end of the table. Yeah. People file in here and tell me, hey, we love you and we're worried about you. And so we've carved out 6 months for you to get healthy. And all I heard was, you're a failure.
Yeah.
No one said that, right? But that's what I heard.
Yep.
Because all my biggest fears were coming true. So when you come in and you say something kind of smart ass to Taylor, right? Absurd hypothetical. And she's, had this and this and this and this going on, right? No matter what you said, here's what she heard.
Yep.
Like, if she's already feeling like, I'm a failure as a mom, I'm a failure as a wife, I'm a failure as a Christian, I'm a failure as a daughter, I'm a failure as a blah, 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 blah. And then you came in and asked, hey, are we eating today?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Bah, you just confirmed everything. That's not what you said. You might've been saying, because I've got a gift certificate and we can go eat dinner, right?
Yeah.
Back, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, whoa. What's really going on here, right?
So at the root of it, it's how do we intentionally take time to stop? Because it's like, if we can stop, you and me are able to stop before doing this podcast and have that conversation, that changes the whole outcome of it. There's people that can't stop and have that conversation with you.
Right.
But it's like, how do they stop, or how do I stop with those people that I can't have the conversation with and go, okay, what's the root of where I'm coming at?
Well, first of all, if it's worth it, go back and re-listen to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you could have just been, ticked off and just stuffed it down, and it would have just kind of been a little.
Talk was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But he's like, hey, it's worth it. First of all, I know that I, in the past, have heard half of talk and then stopped listening.
Mm-hmm.
So because this is important and I trust Jim, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go back and re-listen to it. So if you listen to it a second time and you still have, see, that it still feels like, Jim, you're not taking ownership or whatever that is. Then I think it's like, hey, we're not going to talk about this on the podcast. I need to get clear.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like in that room over there, and then maybe we talk about that process here. If it's important to you, okay. If you just want to win a fight, just yell at me.
Yep.
All right. We'll fight.
Yep.
And
you won't win.
Well, I don't know. We'll both lose.
Yeah.
All right. Because neither one of us want to lose.
Yeah.
So we're going to fight and I walk out of the room going, well, I showed him. Well, I showed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's just over.
It's over. Yeah. So many stories that I talk with people about. That's how it gets to.
Yeah. Hey, those 23 people that texted you, do you know the context of what they were dealing with?
Some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them. And there's others that just reached out because they have my email or they have, like I never check Facebook Messenger. And I got a couple on there last night of like, I don't have their contact info. I'm not close to them, but they like something moved in their life.
Mm, good.
And that's a cool.
I think sometimes the best thing we can do, and I tried to do this in this message this past weekend, was I just want to honor you're still alive. You made it.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't tap out. Or even if you tapped out, you're still leaning into doing your work. I want to honor that. And I think sometimes we're like, well, they shouldn't feel like that. Or they shouldn't have done that. Or they should be... You should be over this by now.
Yep.
You know, it's like I had somebody reach out to me who 10 years ago had to have herself and her kids AIDS tested because her husband was messing around.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, hey, Jim, when you said forgiveness and healing don't come easy and they don't come all at once, thank you, because my church never says stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like prayer and move on.
Yeah. The idea that you can be completely tapped out and God is still up against you, propping you up, is a different picture than I've had for a lot of things in my life, which is really good.
He's in the pit. He's in the prison.
Yeah, that's really good. Before we end season two,
we
had a couple questions we wanted people to get back to us. So we always say like, hey, email us. We want to talk about what
very
you
few
talk
people
about.
Do.
I know.
Maybe we're just so thorough. We answer all
I
their questions.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, I think that's what it is for sure. We want that though. We want to know. So for season three coming into this, we want people to get back to us. So the email is rethink@flatironschurch.com.
Right.
Send in what we want is hey, what would make this better for you to share? What are we doing right now that can be done better so that way you feel comfortable sending it to your friend?
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, what do you want to hear about? What do you have questions about? What are you struggling with? What have we not touched on yet? What is the church in general not touched on that you're like, hey, I would like to hear this on this podcast? Any other questions you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think what's been helpful.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We want to hear more of, all right? Please don't talk about this anymore. We're done. We'd just like to have one podcast we tune in where we don't talk about, you know, politics or talk about.
If we get one email that says don't talk about bunt cakes again, I'll put it in every episode.
I had six buntinis yesterday.
They're good.
Yeah. It was elder.
If you throw the teeny meeting at the back, there's no calories in it. You stay teeny.
Even six of them.
Yeah. Yeah. You're good to go.
It's not even close to 12 packs of Mint Oreos.
Nine. They're family though. Family sized.
I think that people underestimate going, well, they probably wouldn't read my email. They probably wouldn't read my question. I mean, Ben made it 2 weeks ago. He got like mentioned two times.
Yeah.
Right? I think that sometimes we sit there going, I think that this is what people want to talk about. It's like, but the most helpful things have come in.
Yep.
And without apology, we want to bend this toward the hearts of men.
Yep.
And the women who have to deal with them.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Okay?
And it's kind of like it's both, right? It's like one of my favorite things about Flatirons is it's like I finally found a church that my husband or my son or my dad will come to. Mm-hmm. And usually that was because they were brought here by sometimes a buddy, but sometimes the woman in their life going, I'm fine. I need him to, you know that God's right up against him too, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think if we want this podcast to be really, really shareable, so that you could send this to somebody who goes, he didn't give two rats butts about Jesus, all right? But I think this might make him lean in.
Yep.
Right? That's the goal of this thing, right?
Yep. That's so good.
All right. So I'm going on break.
Yeah, you are.
Like right after this, I'm having lunch with a buddy, and then I'm tapping out.
That's
study
great.
Break, vacation,
heck,
fishing in Alaska.
There you go.
Right?
That'll be great.
Preaching from the mountains.
Yep.
23rd Psalm.
Yep.
You should be memorizing it.
Yep.
Right?
Getting after it.
What are you doing for summer?
We're going to Lake McConaughey Wednesday, go camping. Other than that,
you like camping?
Yeah, yeah. This is outdoorsy as I get.
All right.
I don't. Yeah, the hunting thing. I'm still out there. There's grocery stores for that. So,
and with that, we just want to sign off.
Sign off.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, so we will see you back here Labor Day.
Yeah.
All right.
Three.
Season 3.
Later.
See you. Bye.